giving all honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and thanking him for another opportunity to stand before you and share the good news of Jesus Christ. I just pray that, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll give me the strength, the ability, the wisdom to do that which you've called me to do. In Jesus' name, I pray and ask it all. Amen. Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. So good to be here. If you would, please, turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 24. To the book of Luke, chapter 24. And we will be reading verses 25 to verses 33. 25 to 33. But we will be encompassing in our message for today, starting at verse 13. Reading from the King James Bible. Then he said unto them, starting with verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scripture, and they arose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Ushers, you may be seated. Today, I would like to speak a little bit about a remedy for a reluctant heart. A remedy for a reluctant heart. For those of you who are familiar with the Bible, this account is normally referred to as the two men on the road to Emmaus. And it talks about their encounter with Christ as they go down this road. And they don't recognize him. They don't recognize him. And you say that's kind of strange, but the Bible says that their eyes were holding. God didn't allow them to see him. And they're kind of like, I think these two men represent the folks today. See, because on this day, the same day that these men are walking with Christ on the road to Emmaus, on this day, the women had already gone to the tomb and didn't see him. Peter had gone to the tomb and confirmed that the body was gone. Just like for those of us here, none of us, you know, nobody came to us this morning and told us that the tomb was empty. We can't go to the tomb for ourselves and see that the tomb is empty. I mean, we can, but it's been 2,000 plus years after the fact. So these are men who, if they're going to get the truth about Jesus and about the resurrection, they're going to have to get it some other way than an eyewitness account. If you and I are going to get the truth about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to get it some other way than as an eyewitness account. We're going to have to learn how to believe the report and take the word of those who were eyewitnesses. And that's what these two men are going to have to do. They got to take the word of the eyewitnesses because they just aren't there. And I look at that as pretty much where we're at. We're over here in our Grand Prairie, Texas, and somebody's standing up here telling you that Jesus has risen from the dead. I'm not even going to argue with you about whether Jesus rose from the dead. I'm talking about I'm taking that on face value. I'm going to tell you why I take that on face value. Because it's Sunday morning and you're here. It's Easter and you're here. You see, Resurrection Sunday attests to the fact that the resurrection took place. That's why we have Easter. That's why we even have anybody who calls himself a Christian. The existence of any Christian proves to you the resurrection took place. The fact that the Jewish people went from worshiping on the Sabbath, the seventh day, and began to worship on the first day of the week, which we call Sunday, and they refer to as the first day of the week or the third day after the resurrection, again, evidence that something major took place. The fact that all of the apostles and all the disciples scattered. Even these two men on the way where? On the way from Jerusalem. See, they were disciples. They weren't apostles. They were disciples. And they had been following Christ. And now everything's over and they're packed up. Their leader got defeated and they tuck tail and they're going home. They're going to get out of town before somebody kills them too. And the Bible tells you, starting in verse 13 of chapter 24 in the book of Luke, it says these two men started heading towards the road to Emmaus, heading towards the city of Emmaus. And it was about a seven mile walk. That's pretty good hike, y'all. But that's important. I want you to keep in mind, they were headed away 7 miles. Put a pin in that. That's very important. They were leaving the place of action. They were leaving where all the activity, where Jesus taught, where Jesus preached, where Jesus was crucified outside of the camp. They were getting out of Dodge. It was no longer going to be safe because their leader was dead. I told you we're going to be talking about a remedy for a reluctant heart. The dictionary defines a remedy as any medicine or treatment that cures or heals or relieves a disease or a bodily disorder or tends to restore health. I call this message a remedy for a reluctant heart because nobody goes to hell because of their intellect. Nobody goes to hell because there's not enough evidence to prove that Jesus came, he died, and he rose from the dead, paying for your sins and mine. Now, is that not what makes you a Christian? I believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, he rose from the dead, paying for my sins. There is more than ample evidence intellectually to prove to anybody this took place. I told you, look, go drive down the street. You see a whole bunch of people at church every Sunday. Just take a look around in your own family and look at the changed lives. Something happened to these folks. Somebody went from a wife beater to a wife lover and a family man and a godly man. Somebody had his hormones confused. He thought he was a woman and God had birthed him as a man and he got the word of God. See, because you can change, y'all. Don't tell somebody, oh, you can't. No. You can change from sin. Whatever the sin is, you can change from sin. Somebody was walking this way and God turned him around. Now he's walking the other way and you're dumbfounded. All I got to tell you is that there was a resurrection. And Jesus changed things. So he's this remedy. And so your intellectual argument that there's no resurrection, there's no this, your intellectual argument just dissolves before any kind of conversation. Your problem is not located here. If you haven't accepted Jesus, this is not the problem. It's a little bit lower. It's your heart. It's your reluctant heart. I just don't want to be told what to do. Don't tell me what to do. You don't tell me, my mama don't tell me, and God don't tell me. That's our problem. See, because if somebody says no to Jesus, it's no problem for them to say no to you. That's not even an issue. That's a no-brainer. How are you going to get a man who don't love Jesus to love you? How are you going to get a man who won't listen to the word of God to listen to you? Come on, man. How are you going to get a woman who won't submit to the authority of scriptures to submit to you? See, the problem is not here. The problem is I don't want anybody telling me what to do. It's my nature. And then we have the audacity to glorify it by saying, well, you know, I got to be me. You ain't got to be you. Jesus died so that you don't have to be you. If he had wanted you to be you, he'd just gone on about his business. But he wanted you to have the mind of Christ. And he asked his father three times. He said, Lord, is there any other way that we can do this other than the cross? Is there any other way we can do this other than the cross? And the answer came back, not my will, but your will be done. And he went to the cross in obedience to his father. So now we have here verses 13 to 24. I'm just going to kind of bounce through those a little bit. Verses 13 to 24. We're going to talk about what is this remedy for the reluctant heart? One of the first things to do is just use reason. God says, come, sit down, let us reason. One with another. God's reasonable. God is reasonable, and the Bible is logical. The Bible makes the most sense of any book ever written. But here's the problem about the Bible. The Bible is a closed book. It's a closed book because it says for those who are perishing, it's an offense. For those who are on their way away from God, every time they open this book, it rankles them. See, to understand human wisdom, to receive human wisdom, to believe it, you got to understand it to believe it. Before I could start working construction and building buildings, I had to understand what a blueprint said and how the blueprint worked so that I could believe that it would work and I could do the work that was called for me. But divine wisdom is just completely different than that. Divine wisdom requires that you believe it first, and then God will make it so you can understand it. So, contrary to human wisdom, so-called, which is seeing is believing, the Bible says believing is seeing. These men are walking, and like I said, God, it says verse 15, it says, they were talking with each other, and they were reasoning with one another, and Jesus just walked up beside them. Guys walking down the street, minding their own business, heading out of town, and Jesus walks up right beside them. But they didn't recognize him. Now, they're disciples, so they knew what he looked like before he was crucified, but they don't recognize him because God didn't want him to be recognized at this time. And you'll see it in different points in the scripture where Jesus walked right past people. They didn't know who he was. So here's one of those points where it says Jesus walked right beside him. And the Bible says in verse 17, Jesus said to them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one with another as ye walk and are sad? I give you a modern day translation of that. Jesus walked up beside him. He said, what's up, man? What's up? Why is everybody so sad? What's going on? Now, put yourself back 2,000 plus years ago. Jesus just crucified. I mean, brutally murdered, executed. An innocent man brutally murdered and executed. A man that people have been following closely for 3.5 years. A man who had done nothing but good. A man who had healed the sick, raised the dead, gave sight to the blind. Nothing but good. And his reward, as Brother Fox said earlier, his reward was they killed him.
And he says, "What's up, man?" And then he says, "Why are you so sad?" See, and this is your first hint that the resurrection, your first hint that the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection is good news. This is your first hint right here. Because Jesus says, "Why are you so sad?" See, if you know your Bible, it may be a sad event, but it's also the happiest day of your life. When you come to understand that Jesus died and he rose. Now, if you just got him still hanging on the cross somewhere, then you'd be sad because you got the wrong Jesus. But Jesus died and he rose, and that's why he's saying, "Why are you so sad? What's the problem?" It should be a good, happy sign. Because he had told the Jewish people, he said, "You're going to get a sign. You're going to get the sign of Jonah." I know some of y'all believe it's just a great big old fish tale, but it's not. It's very integral to the scriptures. He told the Jews, he said, "You're going to get the sign of Jonah. The Son of Man is going to be in the, just as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, the Son of Man is going to be in the grave, in the ground for 3 days, three nights." So if Jonah's not a real account, then y'all need to toss out the other part about Jesus being rose from the dead. So you don't see flash news, flash, flash, flash. The Bible is not Luby's. You don't pick and choose what you want. It's not Golden Corral where you come in and say, "I take one of those, two of these," and no, I don't want none of that. It comes complete. And God says, "Taste and see. Taste and see. It's good." Well, what about that negative stuff? It's good. It's good. It's all good. Because it's all God. He says, "Why are you so sad?" And so the one, Cleopas, they don't give the name of the other person, but it says two men. And they says, and Cleopas says, he goes, Are you a stranger? Wait, weren't you? Don't you know what's going on? Don't you know the biggest event that has ever taken place in Jerusalem? You don't know what's going on? That's like saying when they had Super Bowl Sunday here in Arlington, Texas. That's like saying that anybody who was living in Arlington, I live right by the General Motors plant. How could you not know something big is going on? You got helicopters, you got TV cameras, you got people miles and miles and miles. Something big took place. And this man is looking at Jesus and he says, it's like my wife and I, we were in Chicago for our first anniversary. We're in Chicago. And I'm trying to find a place to go, a safe place to go get spend the night. I don't know my way around Chicago. So being as Brother Fox always accused me of just talking to anybody, strangers and everything. So I'm on the telephone. I'm talking to somebody about how to get directions to a motel. And then this guy, he was drunk. He was drunk as Cooter Brown. He was standing right next to me. And he said, "How you? What? You need a place to stay?" I'm like, yes, sir. I do need a place to stay. And he said, "Okay, well, I'm going to tell you now. You need to go down on Lincoln Boulevard." "Can you spell Lincoln?" I said, "Yes, sir, I can spell it." "Because if you can't spell Lincoln, I can't help you." And I'm sitting here, I'm thinking about this guy. He says, "Jesus, what'd you do, just fall off the moon? You don't know what has taken place here in Jerusalem just the last few days? You don't know what took place?" He says, "Let me explain something to you. There was this man named Jesus of Nazareth. And we thought he was a great prophet. And he was mighty indeed." Verse 19. "He was mighty indeed and in word before God and all the people." See, now you can't be considered a prophet and not tell the truth. Prophet. If somebody says you're a prophet, that means, especially if they say you're a prophet of God, that means you tell the truth. That's why when a Muslim tells you that they believe that Jesus is a prophet, you can't have the same Jesus.
Because their Jesus says, their religion says, Jesus is a prophet. Well, if he's a prophet that lies, he's not a prophet. Because Jesus of the Bible says, I am the Son of the living God. Now, if you have a prophet who says he's Jesus, but he says he's not the Son of the living God because Allah does not have a son, you cannot have the same Jesus. Saints of God, please understand, you cannot have the same Jesus. So he's talking to Jesus and he goes, he's a prophet. And he's kind of speaking like most of the people today when they talk about how Jesus is a good man. Talk to him. Talk to any of your unbelieving friends. Don't even go to your friends. Go to your family. Jesus is a good man. Jesus is a wonderful man. Is he the Son of God? Did he rise from the dead? Well, does he have the right as Lord to tell us how to live our lives? Does he have that right as Lord? Well, I'm not really sure about. Well, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. If he doesn't have that kind of authority, you got the wrong Jesus. If he's a prophet and he says he's the Son of the living God, then, and he has risen from the dead, then he has the authority to speak to your life, to speak to my life, to tell us what to do, how to do, when to do. And if your Jesus does not do that, if your Jesus is not capable of that, you got the wrong Jesus. Because he says he's Lord and Savior. I know you like that Savior part. That's that positive stuff. Just don't like that Lord part. But it's there. It's all he's a package deal. He's a package deal. And most people, they believe that Jesus was a good man. But how can you call him a good man? And at the same time, out your same side of your mouth, you're calling him a liar. Because he says he's the Son of the living God. And he says he came, he died, he rose from the dead to pay for your sins and mine. So do not allow your friends, your family, or anybody else to get off the hook and tell you that Jesus is a good man and he's a liar all at the same time. Either he's God or he's not. Cliche. Either he's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Don't allow people to talk nonsense to you. See, he said they were reasoning with one another. Get the nonsense out of the conversation and start reasoning with one another. And Jesus is sitting there, he's listening to them. And then they go on to proclaim to say that in verse 22, they said, now remember, Jesus said, why are you sad? And they said, well, you know, this is the third day. And a couple of women went to the tomb to go and anoint his body. And when they got there, they said they saw a vision. They saw some angels, but the body was gone. And they came back and they told Peter and they told the apostles. And they said, the body's gone. And these angels told us that he's gone. So Peter, not being a, you know, these are not stupid people, y'all. We like to think that they're way more ignorant than we were. That we think that if we were in that situation, we'd go do a DNA test somewhere or something. But Peter said, I know what I'll do. I'll go and look for myself. Isn't that reasonable? Look, nobody in the history of mankind had ever gotten himself about the grave, y'all. After 3 days, he graveyard dead. So here's something that these women say has taken place that has never taken place before in the history of mankind. So Peter runs to the gravesite and he looks in. And it's just like what the women say. The tomb is empty. He's gone. Just like the women said. So right about now, Jesus is saying, so why are you sad? He's not supposed to be there. If you know the scriptures, if you know that he told them that like Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days, if you know this, why are you sad? Because you got a reluctant heart. That's why you're sad. They had all the information they needed. My friends, your friends, my family, your family, they have all the information they need to believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead paying for their sins. And yet and still they say, I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to accept it because I don't want you telling me what to do. It's not I can't understand it. It's never I can't understand it. It's always I don't want to be told what to do. So, Jesus says, we go from the reason to researching. Here's that medicine. When you got a toothache, you take some toothache powder. When you got a headache, you take a little headache powder. And when your bones are aching, you just sit down. Just sit there and hurt. You'll be all right later on. But he's got some medicine for your reluctant heart. Because Jesus, look what Jesus says to him. He says, verse 25 through 27. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all. What about just some of the scriptures? What about the parts that I just like? What about the parts that the TV preacher tell me, I'm not going to preach that part because it's negative? What did Jesus? Jesus said to believe all. At this time, the entire old, what we call the old covenant, was already written, complete. And guess what? It was written by people. Fallible people. Isn't that the argument that you hear today? Well, you know, the Bible was written by men and it's been messed up. It was written by people. And Jesus said, all of the scriptures, every jot, every tittle, he says, you're supposed to believe all of the scriptures. And when he calls them fools, he's not calling them fools as being ignorant. He's calling them fools as not allowing themselves to be able to think clearly. There's some people just don't, they just can't get things. That's not the problem for people when it comes to salvation. They just don't want to accept what's very plain to be seen. And Jesus says, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? See, they were so happy because Jesus stood up against the politicians of his day. He stood up against the religious leaders of his day. He was a man's man. He, this Jesus that we've confused with Pee Wee Herman. This Jesus came into the temple. Jesus came into the temple and he saw men doing stuff, buying and selling and turning his house into a house of merchandise. And he turned it out. This Jesus, the real Jesus, he turned it out. Believe all of the scriptures. And so here they had him one way. They were ready for him to come in and just start taking names and tearing up Rome. They were sick and tired of Roman government. The government just had them like this. And they were like, man, if we could just get somebody to come take care of this government stuff. See, and that's where you get a lot of moral majority Christians where we just, you know, we want to try to get the government to do this and do that. The Bible says, don't you know that my people who are called by my name, skip the government. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and call on the Lord. He said, I hear you. It's a good thing to have a conservative government. It's a good thing to be a conservative person. It's a good thing to vote for the right people. But it's a better thing for a saint of God to stand up and do what he knows to be right according to all things that are written. And it says, and he began at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He started back in Genesis, y'all. And again, I have to stress this. These books were written by men. And the big argument today is, well, the Bible's written by men. Who else is going to write it?
written by men as they were moved by the Holy Ghost to write. The Bible is without error. And it takes it, we take it all. And he says, and I didn't say search the scriptures. I said research, because they already knew the scriptures, because Jesus just took them back to it and showed it to them. He says, spend some time. Let's go to a couple scriptures here. Let's go to Psalms 16 and 10. He said, isn't, according to scripture, should not Jesus have to suffer these things? We don't want our heroes to suffer, y'all. We never want our heroes to suffer. But Jesus said, it was necessary that I suffer in order that I might be able to deliver you from this mess. Psalm 16, 10. And it reads, Jesus, it didn't tell you what scriptures he took them back to, but I'm just going to take you back to some, because these scriptures are already in the Bible. They were there. They were already. Let's see what some he might have said. Verse 10, for thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. The psalmist said, even though the holy one would die, God would not leave his soul in Sheol, in hell. He would not allow him to be corrupted. Now, y'all think back just a little while ago. Lazarus was in the grave for what? 4 days. And when Lazarus got up out the grave, the people went, man, this dude smells bad. He stinketh, Lord. He stinketh. How come somebody, why don't any of the men on the road to Emmaus say that about Jesus? Because his body had not seen corruption. His body was in the grave for 3 days, but his body never, ever, ever saw corruption, because he's the Holy One of Israel. He's the chosen of God. Amen. Psalm 22. 16 through 18. See if this sounds familiar to you. Psalm 22, 16 through 18. For the dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Does that sound familiar? Jesus said, shouldn't I have suffered that? Shouldn't the Jesus, shouldn't the one who represents the Holy One of Israel, shouldn't he suffer these things so that he might enter into his glory? And then turn to Isaiah. Don't forget all the scriptures. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. It says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Your Bible might say to crush him. He's talking about the Holy One of Israel, y'all. He's talking about the Son of the living God. The one, see, everybody was happy with him when he was healing the sick and raising the dead and doing all these wonderful miracles. Everybody was, but for the Son of God to have to suffer, we weren't ready for that. The man on the road to Emmaus, though they were disciples, they weren't ready for that. He says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall see his seed. The one who's being crushed, the one who's being bruised, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. That's from the book of Isaiah. This is a part for us, because Jesus didn't go to this, because this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. I have to tell you these because I want you to connect the dots, y'all. It's so important. See, because that's what Jesus was doing with these men on the road to Emmaus. They knew the scriptures. They had a working knowledge of the scriptures. That's why Jesus could take them back and let them research and see what is talking about him. They didn't know who these passages were talking about, but he showed them, these passages were talking about me, the Holy One of Israel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, and it reads, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see that, the correlation between that and Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10? Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. The translation for that, the literal translation for that, is a guilt offering. Jesus had no guilt. We have guilt. Connect the dots. Start understanding. This is the resurrected Christ. This is the promised one to the children of Israel. Jesus, the resurrected Christ.
Moving on to verse 29. Chapter 24, verse 29.
Said they were just about to Emmaus. Don't forget, 7-mile walk. Just about to Emmaus. And they said night was falling. It had been a long day because the women had gone to the tomb first thing in the morning, y'all. All this activity had started early in the day. And now they're just about to Emmaus. And they said to Jesus, why don't you hang around with us for a little bit longer? They were enjoying the conversation. They were learning things. He was connecting dots for them. And look what Jesus said. Jesus looked like he was going to keep going. But because they asked him to stay, he said, okay, I'll stay. Why don't you ask Jesus to come and abide in you? Why don't you ask Jesus to come and sit and talk with you a little bit? We sing the song, say, he walked with me. He talked with me. You see, all they had to do to get Jesus to spend some time with them was ask him. All you have to do, you want to know about Jesus, you want to know the truth about the resurrection, you want to know how to get saved, all you got to do, call on his name. The Bible says, for whosoever calls on the name of Jesus shall be saved. That's good news. That's good news. And they said, would you stick around with us for a little bit? Would you abide with us? Would you hang in with us for a little bit? And they said he did. And then it says Jesus sat down and he ate with them and he broke bread with them. And when they break bread with them, that's when they connected all the dots. Because that's the last thing he did with his disciples before he left. He broke bread with them. And they said, and they recognized him. They recognized the true living Son of God. And they said, just as soon as they recognized him, he vanished out of their sight. Now, I want you to see what it says down here. Verse 32. Verses 32 to 33. Going to talk about after you've reasoned and after you've researched, now it's time to rejoice. You looked at all the evidence. You examined everything that's out there. In fact, I bet y'all even got online to see if Jesus is real. Was that commercial where old boy said, the girl said, yeah, he's a French man. Bonjour. I've heard it online, so it's got to be true. Must be true. He says, go to the Bible. You say, why didn't Jesus just when they said, when they started talking about Jesus, why didn't Jesus just throw open his coat and say, hey, here I am? He said, because we won't be able to do that. What we can do is we can search the scriptures. You can get a teacher who will show you the word of God. You can get a preacher who will show you the word of truth. This is something that you and I can do. The same thing that the men on the road to Emmaus did, we can do. We can start beginning with Moses, and we can search the scriptures, all of the scriptures, to see what pertains to Jesus Christ. And then in verse 32, where they start to rejoice, he says, and they said one to another. They said one to another. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Brothers, sisters, friends, if reading the Bible or if somebody reading you the Bible or hearing the preached word, if it offends you, if it does not make your heart burn, you need to pray and ask Jesus to spend some more time with you. Because when you start understanding this word, when you start understanding what Jesus has done and what Jesus is doing, you get happy. You can't help but get happy.
When you start understanding, because you know what came to their mind immediately once they understood that he was the resurrected Christ, the next thing when they started rejoicing, the very next thing they did was they turned back from Emmaus. Now, they just early in the morning, started first thing in the morning, headed 7 miles, walking to Emmaus, and then they find out that this is the real deal. This is Jesus Christ, the incarnate God in the flesh. This is him. And they get happy. And they turn around. And they head back to Jerusalem. It's night. The Bible tells you it's nighttime. It's time to go home. Because now they know who Jesus is. They get excited. And they pack up. And they say, we're going back because we got to tell somebody. See, when you got Jesus in your life and Jesus is moving in your life and he's doing things in your life, you can't be casual about it. You can't be politically correct about Jesus. When you're on your job site, you can't keep your mouth shut because Jesus has done so much. If you know him and a partner of your sins. See, and they were leaving Jerusalem because you got to get out of Dodge, because if somebody's going to kill your leader, you just might be next. So they're leaving Jerusalem. They just about get to Emmaus and they end up finding out that Jesus really has risen from the dead, and they go right back to the scene of the crime. They go right back to the danger is. You know why they go back to where the danger is? Because they say, what's the worst you're going to do, kill me? If he's got power over life and death, you're going to threaten me with death? My Savior controls. He says, I am the resurrection. I control the life and the death. What you going to do? What you going to do? See, all the disciples had scattered. All the apostles had scattered. But this is the proof of the resurrection. All of a sudden, all these men who took off like roaches when you turn on the light came right back. They came right back. And not only did they come right back, they came back and they preached the gospel like it had never been preached before. The Bible says that 12 godly men stood up, spoke up, spoke out, and proclaimed that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead, paying for your sins and mine. And they said, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? See, because my Savior conquered death. My Savior got up out the grave. And the good news is, for anybody here who doesn't know him and the pardon of your sins, I want you to know on the authority of the scriptures that what he's done for others, he'll do for you. Jesus Christ will give you eternal life, and he will give you life here more abundantly. You don't have to wait till you die to enjoy Jesus, y'all. I'm having me a hallelujah good time. Ain't got no money, but I got Jesus. Health might be a little funny, but I got Jesus. Ain't got it. I had plans for my life, man. I had so many plans for my life. Had I succeeded at what I was going to do, I wouldn't know any of y'all. But I got Jesus, and I love every one of you, and I want to be with every one of you. And if there's anybody here who don't know Jesus in the pardon, I want you to go to heaven with me. I'm going. I'm going. No, that's not arrogance. That's assurance. Didn't Jesus say all? He said all. Isn't that what he said, y'all? Well, the Bible tells me that he who has life has Christ. He who has Christ have life. He who has not life has not Christ. You got Jesus? You got life. Eternal. Can't nobody take it from you. And I want you to tell somebody about it, y'all. I want you to tell everybody about it. And I want you to go to your family. I want you to go to your friends and let them know about Jesus. Last thing. I just got a challenge for you. I don't want you to let your reluctant heart get in the way of your salvation. Because the Bible tells you in the book of Romans, the Bible tells you, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Don't let your reluctant heart keep you from getting to Jesus. You got to sit down, do some reasoning, do some research. He'll allow you to do some rejoicing and tell somebody about Jesus. And you make up your mind. Are you going to keep heading away on the road to Emmaus? Are you going to turn back and come back to where Jesus is? Amen. 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 God bless you.